Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Michael Brown reporting. Excitement is building in Rio de Janeiro Saturday as the Olympics are just getting underway.
We're from Norway. We're coming to see Norway women's handball against Brazil. And Norway is the defending Olympic champion. So, wow, we're going to win today, I hope.
More than 200 Olympic teams are competing, including the first ever team of refugees. Some spectators hope the games will have an impact beyond the final competition.
Well, I hope that the games elevate the country and elevate the situations here. That is my optimistic outlook.
Amazing!
But we have to wait and see for it. But my hope it is that the games do benefit the country in the long run.
As part of the kickoff festivities late Friday night, a French luminographer decorated Rio de Janeiro's famed Christ the Redeemer statue to the excitement of spectators. Al-Shabaab waged mortar attacks in southwestern Somalia Saturday, killing a 15-year-old girl and wounding four of her family members. Witnesses say the militant group also fired mortars on the airport in the town of Baidoa. It's the second heaviest bombardment on the town by Al-Shabaab in just over a month. In July, two children were killed and 19 others wounded after heavy mortar attacks by the militant group. Authorities in northern France are investigating a fire at a birthday celebration where 13 people died and six were hurt, including one with serious injuries. This report say candles and sparklers from the birthday cake somehow ended up on the floor of the bar at Rouen, igniting the carpet. The incident comes with France already on edge after a string of attacks by terrorists affiliated with the Islamic State. This is VOA News. Election results in South Africa's two largest cities, Johannesburg and Pretoria, the capital, are still too close to call Saturday, with 99% of the vote counted. The country's ruling party, the African National Congress, the ANC, has taken a drubbing in local elections, including the Democratic Alliance victory over the ANC and Mandela Bay. James Selfie is the chairman of the Democratic Alliance.
We do not and will not do deals with the ANC. The ANC already is too powerful in South Africa, and it needs to be removed from that hegemonic position. As to the other opposition parties, we are open to negotiations with any or all of them.
The ANC's Nelson Mandela's party is still leading overall with an estimated 53% of the vote, but is seeing its worst electoral performance since the end of apartheid. Members of the Philippine Vietnamese community staged a protest demonstration rally with their Filipino counterparts on Saturday outside the Chinese embassy in Manila. Protesters were urging China to abide by the international law after a United Nations arbitration panel ruled in favor of the Philippines in its maritime dispute with Beijing in the South China Sea. Hear now from a Vietnamese activist at the rally.
We come from different countries. We come from different religions. But we are united here today, send China a message. The more it defies the ruling, the more credibility is lost. China bullying attempts and force of aim will be certainly backfire. China will have to pay dear price for its defiance of international law in the long term.
China's increasingly assertive maritime activities in the East and South China Seas have raised concerns and tensions in the region. China says it doesn't recognize the July 12th ruling. A coalition of Arab and Kurdish fighters is reported to have taken almost complete control of a strategic northern Syrian city that was a stronghold of the Islamic State group. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the Syrian Democratic Forces, which includes Arab and Kurdish fighters, seized the city of Manbij Saturday and are combing the city in search of the last remaining jihadists. After years of undercover work, the United States is starting to reveal what appears to be networks of would-be terrorists who support each other, even as many prepare to act alone. An official speaking to VOA on the condition of anonymity also said it's clear a lot of this predated ISIL, using the acronym for the Islamic State. After a meeting with national security officials, President Obama said it's conceivable that there are some networks here that could be activated. I'm Michael Brown in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clottey in Washington.
We have done the deployment. We'll look at shortfalls in other provinces where there are a lot of officers. We have to move them to these other provinces. But so far, we have begun escorting the election materials that are going to various provinces.
The Zambian police escort voting materials to be used for next week's general election and referendum.
We welcome this resolution by EGAT. This is what we have been saying, that we needed a third-party force to be deployed in Juba so that it could separate the two rival forces.
East African regional leaders unanimously reinstate Dr. Riek Machar as the legitimate South Sudanese Affairs Vice President.
We have today filed an application with the Constitutional Court of Zimbabwe where we are demanding the immediate resignation of President Mugabe.
And a Zimbabwean activist goes to court to force long-term President Robert Mugabe to step down. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Zambian police officers have begun escorting sensitive materials the Electoral Commission would use to administer next week's general election. Zambians go to the polls on August 11, where incumbent President Edgar Lungu faces a stiff challenge from main opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema from the United Party for National Development, or UPND, in the presidential vote. Ray Hamonga, the spokesperson for the Zambian police, told me officers will be up to the task on election day to ensure prospective voters cast their ballot in peace and without fear.
We have done the deployment to look at the shortfalls in other provinces where there are a lot of officers. We have to move them to these other provinces. But so far, we have begun escorting the election materials that are going to various provinces. As regards the deployment of officers, we are on course. By next week, we should be able to finish the deployment of officers to all the polling stations and the voting points.
These officers that will be deployed specifically at these polling stations across the country, will there be special training for them about how to comport themselves and how to maintain the peace during elections?
You realize that elections in this country are not a new thing for us as far as Zambia police. We have been holding elections. Just last year, we had the presidential election. We were electing head of state after the death of the incumbent. So it's not necessary that elections are a new thing, but however, we don't take things for granted. This year, again, we did conduct some training for our officers. All the police officers were trained in electoral policy with the help of the United Nations Development Program. So we trained our officers, and each officer was given a handbook and a pocket notebook, for that matter, just to remind them of electoral offenses and electoral practices and the offenses to look for and how to police elections during such a period.
I ask that question because Zambians have expressed concern that particularly this year, due to the competitive nature, anticipated competitiveness of the presidential election, they are worried about the spate of increasing violence during the campaign period in the run-up to the election. The police have been even accused of being biased in this directive. How do you manage these issues and concerns of both the political parties and some civil society organizations, including the church?
Okay, to begin with, when we talk of violence, of course, the violence that has occurred, it has occurred already, and we cannot take it away that it occurred. Now, what it is, you know, if a person decides to become violent, for us as police, we feel that the most important thing is to look at what has been done that has caused that violence. Because if you decide to become violent, nobody can stop you from that action. But you know that there are punitive measures or there are laws that actually govern or supposed to be applied when someone becomes violent. So in these matters, and as police, we have actually arrested cadres from the opposition and also from the ruling party. So the issue of people getting worried about violence, we want to assure them that as Zambia police, we are equal to the task, and we will handle this task, this election, without much ado. We will ensure that law and order is maintained. Zambia has been known to be a piece of oasis, and it will remain so as long as Zambia police is alive, and we are still alive, and we will ensure that nobody, and from whatever quarter, whether from which quarter, is going to try to do things that may want to disturb the peace that we have enjoyed as a country.
What about the issue of bias? Because some opposition groups have accused the police of not ensuring an even playing field during electioneering campaign. UPND presidential candidate Hakainde Hichilema said his campaign in some areas will go on despite opposition from the police, and he issued a statement to that effect. How do you react to it?
You see, when it comes to issues of campaigns, which are referred as public processions, you find that during public processions, the law exempts the head of state and the vice president from notifying the police. And that is the law. And you know, we're not talking about morals here, we're talking about laws. And that's why laws are written. Now, as it is now, this law is written and it gives preference to the head of state. So are we, as police, we have no mandate to change laws. We don't have that mandate. That mandate lies with the Zambian people through their representatives in parliament. And these are laws that are enacted by the Zambian people. So our role is to enforce these laws. Not to enforce as it ought to be, but to enforce them as the law is.
Ray Hamonga is the spokesperson for the Zambian police. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. The leader of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, or SPLMIO, Dr. Riek Machar, has welcomed the decision by regional leaders to reinstate him as South Sudanese Affairs Vice President. In a meeting held in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa Friday, the leaders from the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, also decided to deploy a regional force to protect civilians as part of an effort to ensure the full implementation of last year's peace accord. James Gadet Dak, spokesperson for Dr. Riek Machar, told me the SPLMIO leader will return to Juba only after a third-party force is deployed.
We welcome this resolution by IGAD. This is what we have been saying, that we needed a third-party force to be deployed in Juba so that it could separate the two rival forces and protect not only Dr. Riek Machar, but also the collective leadership of South Sudan, including President Salva Kiir himself. You know, both of them were almost killed at the palace incident at that time. So there is need to protect the collective leadership and the officials, and not only the leadership, but also the citizens of South Sudan who have been killed in crossfire or intentionally by forces loyal to President Salva Kiir. So we welcome this move.
When will Dr. Riek Machar return to Juba to continue in partnership with President Kiir to implement this peace accord signed last year? Because there has been some delay on his part.
Well, actually, it is not the delay on his part, but it is the delay on the regional body, the IGAD, because they could not deploy the third-party force. And Dr. Riek Machar was waiting for the third-party force to be deployed in Juba so that he could return. This is what he has been saying. He has been clear about it. So as soon as the regional body deploys the third-party force, immediately Dr. Riek Machar will return to Juba.
Well, people are saying that he is to blame for the delay. If indeed he is committed to the peace deal, he should have returned as President Kiir invited him to come to find ways to help resolve these recent clashes. His constant delay led to the appointment of Tebang Dengai as the first vice president.
Well, unfortunately, unless those who want him to return to Juba want him to be killed by President Salva Kiir, because President Salva Kiir invited him so that he could kill him. He almost killed him at the palace that time. So whoever is saying that Dr. Riek Machar should be blamed for not returning to Juba is actually saying that he should come back to Juba so that he gets killed. But on our part, we don't accept this. We don't want him to get killed. We want him to implement the peace agreement. And this is not what President Salva Kiir wants to do. He wants to lure him back to Juba like he did when he came back from Pagak, so that he could kill him. So we don't agree with this. Unless a third-party force is deployed, that's when he will come. Otherwise, he will not accept to come back, only to be killed.
With this new move, what happens to the reshuffling that President Kiir did, because apparently his lack of presence forced, as some people say, President Kiir to act and make some new appointments, including the petroleum minister and first vice president, among other appointments he recently made.
Well, first of all, the action by President Kiir was illegal, was a clear violation of the peace agreement. The peace agreement did not give him power to replace Dr. Riek Machar or to appoint or replace his ministers. This is very illegal and a violation of the peace agreement. Fortunately, the EGAD resolution of Friday, the 5th of August, has resolved that the first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar, is the legitimate first vice president. They could not recognize the abandoned guy whom he legally appointed. So this is a good news. So that when the third party force is deployed and the first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar, comes back to Juba, he will assume his position as first vice president. Whatever happens in his absence is illegal and will be deemed null and void. So this is what has emerged from the EGAD leadership, that whatever reshuffle was done by President Salva Kiir with his friend Taban Dengai will not work. All those ministers whom they have illegally replaced will be reinstated to their positions by their legitimate leader, Dr. Riek Machar.
What's the next move for the SPLM-IO leader, in this case, Dr. Riek Machar?
Well, as I said, he's waiting for the third party force to be deployed. Good enough that the EGAD resolution is very clear that the force will be deployed. So now he will be waiting for the EGAD force to be deployed in Juba so that he can return to Juba.
James Gadet Dak is a spokesman for Dr. Riek Machar. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Reports in Somalia say the election of national leaders and government institutions is unlikely to happen as planned in August and September. The leader of Puntland Regional Administration, Dr. Abdi Weli Mohammed Ali, who is one of the key officials making decisions on elections, told VOA that elections will be delayed by 2 months. For more on the latest development about the poll, Mohammed Abdi Rizak, who wants to compete in the presidential vote, joins us live here at the VOA studio in Washington, D.C. Hello, Abdi Rizak.
Thank you, Peter.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So tell me, let's go to Somalia. What are your views about reports that the elections will be postponed, and is the ground conducive for credible or legitimate, transparent elections?
The elections that were envisioned in the provisional constitution that we're supposed to take in 2016 were supposed to be a one-person, one vote. We knew that wasn't going to take place. What we're talking about now is another sort of selection election that was going to be in place of the real elections. And still, this is what is being delayed. To my knowledge, and according to my sources on the ground, first of all, the presidential elections will take place October 25th. Lower house will be first week of October. And for the first time in Somalia's history, an upper house, another chamber, will be created, and that will take place on September 25th. Now, these are just calendar dates. We still are waiting for how to get there.
All right, let me ask you this. Security remains definitely a challenge in Somalia. What's the best way forward to address the insecurity that Al-Shabaab poses to the people of Somalia?
Since I declared my candidacy in May, what I've talked about is the need for a real reconciliation among Somalis, and this is the first step. This is the best way for us to address our security. There have been about 16 conferences in the last 2 decades. All were in the name of reconciliation, but real reconciliation has never really taken place in Somalia. And this is what I call for. And that is the first step. Second is to look at the recruitment and retention, all militaristic, technical ways of improving our armed forces. Currently, we have security forces in Puntland, in Somaliland, in Southwest, in Jubaland, and with the federal government. And these are by no means a national force. What we need to do is to have a united national force that can defend Somalia and its territory and its people against its enemies including Al-Shabaab.
Well, some say little progress seems to have been made despite donor funds pumped into Somalia. How best do you think the lives of Somalis could be improved with all these goodwill and funds pledged to help the country?
We are grateful to the international community for the funds that they have pledged and the support that they have given to Somalia, not only in terms of financing, but also pushing and being a pressure to the government. But improvement, I think, is a little bit of a stretch, because in the last 4 years, security has worsened. All major hotels in Mogadishu have been attacked. We are up to 18 members of the parliament killed. We have generals killed. We have ministers killed. We have thousands of Somalis, innocent people, killed. Students have been killed at graduation ceremonies, women. And so security is, if anything, has backtracked, and we're not where we were 4 years ago.
Before we go, briefly, in less than 10 seconds, what do you think your chances are of winning the presidency in Somalia?
I will win the presidency in Somalia.
Thank you.
Thank
Mohamed Abdirazak is a Somali who wants to compete in the presidential election. He joined us live here in the VOA studio in Washington. Ugandan police shut down an LGBT event in Kampala Thursday and arrested 10 of the organizers. The event was part of a Ugandan Pride Week, and some fear the crackdown marks a reversal of strides made in the past year on LGBT rights in Uganda. For VOA, Lisbeth Pollard has more from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
Uganda's Mr. and Ms. Pride contest began with costumes, dancing, and revelry. But an hour into the event, police arrived and without explanation barred all entrances and exits to the venue. Community activist Hassan Kamoga was there.
At first I went there at the door to find out what was happening. And then they told me, you need to stay away and you have to keep your cameras. And then I asked one of the policemen if they could let me go out, and then they told me, you're not going anywhere. So they were telling people to sit down. They were treating us like children.
The atmosphere was one of confusion and anger. Several of the event's organizers were arrested, and other attendees said police took photos of their faces. One man, in fear of his life, jumped over a balcony railing. Officials say he survived and was taken to the hospital. After about an hour, officers told the crowd to leave, but assured them police protection on the way out. Relieved, many attendees cheered the news. District Police Commander Isaac Magerwa said the event was broken up because security was too lax and put attendees in danger. He also said the police did not get notice of the event, so it violated the Public Order Management Act. Uganda made international news in 2009 when Parliament proposed a law that would include the death penalty for homosexuality. This was later amended to life imprisonment. The Anti-Homosexuality Act passed and was signed into law in 2014, but was overturned that same year on a technicality. Homosexual acts are still illegal in Uganda and punishable by jail time. However, LGBT advocates say there's been a marked cooling of tensions this year, as artistic and social spaces for LGBT community members have continued to open up. This includes LGBT-themed plays, an international competition for Uganda's gay swim team, and Kampala's own queer film festival, scheduled for this December. The 10 people arrested Thursday were released early Friday, but say they were subjected to harassment and assault while in custody. Pepe Julius Onzima told VOA that when he went to ask police about their presence at the event, he was arrested.
So I was trying to inquire, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then the guy was just like, even this one, and he slapped me, and then I was cuffed. Mm-hmm. And they pushed us under the truck, and they basically were saying we're homosexuals, you know, and saying nasty things.
Onzima says they were put into cells with hostile inmates.
And then one of the guys started hitting me. He was asking me, what do you do? And he's like, you must be homosexual, you know. There's a reason why they've brought you in here, because we have to teach you a lesson. And it just like kept on hitting me and hitting me. I'm sure they know what happens in there, because by the time they pushed us in, they were telling the inmates that deal with these ones. Right. So that means they knew what was going to happen.
Uganda's LGBT community leaders say they are still determined to go ahead with the planned march this Saturday. However, members of Uganda's gay community told VOA they worry about further police harassment. Elizabeth Pala for VOA News, Kampala.
Tajamuka Sisejikele campaign claims that it has filed a court application seeking an order to compel Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe to step down. This after alleging that the 92-year-old Mugabe has failed to properly run the country. For VOA reporter Patricia Mudadigwa has the story from the Zimbabwean capital, Harare.
Spokesperson Promise Mukwananzi of Tajamuka Sisejikele campaign, comprising 40 different organizations and thousands of individuals, filed the Constitutional Court application today. Mukwananzi, who claimed that he personally filed the application, said Tajamuka Sisejikele campaign is arguing that at 92, the president is not capable of carrying out his work due to his advanced age. He said they are further claiming that the president is currently failing to properly execute some of his duties as stipulated in Zimbabwe's constitution.
We have today filed an application with the Constitutional Court of Zimbabwe, where we are demanding the immediate resignation of President Mugabe. The grounds of that Constitutional Court application are, number one, his dismal failure to uphold his responsibility in terms of the constitution, in terms of Section 89 and Section 50 of the Zimbabwean constitution, where the president is obliged to uphold the rule of law, to protect citizens, and to unite citizens. And there are statements which the president has made, which are contrary to the duties that are in the constitution.
Indications are that Tajamuka Sisejikele campaign did not hire lawyers to file the application. Studio 7 was unable to get details of the court application, and court officials referred all questions to the clerk of court, who was not available for comment. Jacob Mafume, a Harare-based attorney and member of the People's Democratic Party led by Tendai Biti, said individuals have the right to file cases in the Constitutional Court.
Technically, any person can approach the courts of Zimbabwe to make a court application. Their constitutional right, access to the courts and to judicial services is a constitutional right. But however, the process is can at times be highly technical and at times needs to have the services of a lawyer to be able to understand the complexities.
Mafume contends that it will be a mammoth task to force the president to step down through such a constitutional challenge.
What happens is that an impeachment procedure is followed, which takes the route of parliament, and parliament itself turns itself into a court that will look at breaches of the constitution by the executive or by the president. In this case, they are arguing that the issue of old age, a problem with our constitution, it is a lower limit. You can be young, you can be too young to be a president. But in the wisdom or lack thereof of the drafters of our current constitution, they did not include an upper age limit like the Chinese constitution, where they prohibit somebody who is above 70 to be the head of state or the president.
Section 96 of Zimbabwe's constitution clearly stipulates that the president may resign his or her office by written notice to the Speaker of Parliament. Section 97 of the country's supreme law further stipulates that the president can be removed from office through a joint resolution passed by at least one half of the total members of parliament. The president can also be removed from office for serious misconduct, failure to obey, uphold, or defend the constitution, willful violation of the constitution, and or inability to perform the functions of the office because of physical or mental incapacity. In Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And right now it's time for music from our African collection. Enjoy.
Now, we don't upgrade the matter. Daily and weekly and monthly and quarter. Now, we don't talk to butter. Family is small and we know get quanta. That would just be Yoruba. Make them know for forget if I don't have a
then they went for can start the party. We arrive on Mana Rise. Look them sexy lady, look them tasty lady, them fine. Now so that's happy wine. If I watch gonna yai, hey, before I go fry. I dey watch like a bottom step and die. I see short skirts, hey, a mini skirt. Go swap for dance with when it's party go start. I want Saleh, yeah, I want ballet.
What you want?
Makale, and the party back me alle.
Overload,
not to your business, but in a party you come. Left me make an overload if you ask you gonna do. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody, every man deserves a lady. Come to party, oh no. Come jam, shake your body. Come show me, say you savvy. If you really ready, oh no. Before you even start the party, check for G-string or bikini. Now that's man, they ready, oh no. Come see tutu, so jam and so we at the party. For tea, wedding, can it get already? My boss, Lokoti, Babaduri, waiting you say. Tell me if you really done ready. Yeah, yeah, see yeah, the yeah. Dance, they swing and they bounce it. No say, I think dance to the party. You see me they jump, they swing cool and cozy. No go say, I think dance to the party. You see me among sexy, beautiful ladies. No go say, I think I'm too to party. Some girls them to tune up for by nine. Free tongue girls them to they fast forward and rewind, yeah. All night long, yeah, 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 yeah. Show me your motion, my woman. Show me your motion, my woman. Show me your motion, my woman. Show me your motion.
And I will buy more
kasa unyo twia so munge go go aba what's your baby now I didn't number now do be no ofaya ngo so baby I was a day na said je when is so munge you remember now buzz up very I say you with mommy you with mommy me say what dream why would you live in no that's a whole genesis of no the way you would die the way no bad the way you would die the way no bad you what's up, party man? No be supporting, nana. Guys, I'm in the car. That's a bad guy, best to mama. So, when I'm so bad to the winning, I'm in the team. Who's a gas? That's a water. Ah. Yeah, my gun, you know, you'll be answering now when you do. I know your mommy, I want him to crack up on your piano. And it's not when you're a girl, baby. I know what you're a brand to be. That young boy, baby. Young boy, be an adjunct girl, be a vessel. And who's that? No one wants them, kind of in the castle. So, young girl, be a sinner. Young boy, be a good one. So, young girl, be a sinner. Young boy, be a canoe. Hey, I'm going to say what you say. Aye. What is that?
Them all.
Leda, fish no get fed up, love we I get no get wet up. Kaki no so leather, fish no get fed up, the love we I get no get wet up. Oh na 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 na.
I'm coming.
Nigga don't know you. This a song for all the lovers out there. Nada. Baby, picture me and you. What I know the past, so I can't live a moment without you. Now one day I do. It journey is not easy, but I know it's impossible. If only if I fly, no. Only you. Oh, yeah. Take bullets for you, me, I know they afraid you.
Tell me what, tell me what.
Talk to the news and all over the
radio.
Ah, tell only one yo. Ah, say me too, you. A beautiful girl like you, need man like me. I'm always gonna make you feel alright, man.
like me, a beautiful girl like you need man like me. A man we gon' make you feel alright, man like me, because you know go let fish not get better. The love we I get no get weather, no get weather. So you know go let fish not get better. The love we I get no get weather, no get weather. Girl, you my one and only. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anything that you want, just holler with me. No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Say I'm your man, your salon bubble. No, 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 yeah, yeah. Say mama, don't beat me, pray for you sake. I'm ready for dying. Take bullets for you, me, I know they afraid you. Tell you what, tell you what. Talk to the news and all about it. Tell you what, tell you what. Ah, tell only one, yo. Ah. Say me too, oh, you. A beautiful girl like you need man like me. I'm always gonna make you they feel alright, man like me. A beautiful girl like you need man like me. I'm always gonna make you they feel alright, man like me. Because you know go let her, fish not get better. In love way I get no get weather. No get weather, so you no go leather. Fish no get better. The love we I get no get weather, no get weather. Baby, you know me, I'm your man. I can be your better man. Baby, you know me, oh. Baby, you know me, your man. I can be your better man. Baby, you know me, no. If you told me, I'd understand, but I take my life away, cause you're the one, my only hope. Baby, you're the one and all, nothing can separate me from you, no. Oh, baby, yeah. Oh, I'm a beautiful girl like you, need man like me. I'm always gonna make you feel alright, man like me. A beautiful girl like you, need man like me. I'm always gonna make you feel alright, man like me. Because you know go let her, fish no get better. The love we I get no get weather, no get weather. So you know go let her, fish no get better. The love we I get no get weather, no get weather.
I'm coming.
Let's go. LXG. This is a love song for everybody all over the world. Be black or white. Negation. Slap down.
Baby, say you did it. A big and big for make you come back now. So, from the time you let me go, baby girl, I'm all alone. When I go see you back, when I go touch you back, yeah, me baby, I will keep on trying until you come back to my life. I will keep on trying, even if I try and fail, I will keep on trying, baby, 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 oh, yeah. In a beautiful baby, I do get my love, no. Baby, girl, I'm on my knees, so be a fucking, yeah. In only one and only, baby, girl, I love you. Come back to me, baby. Yes, I love you, baby. Hear me, yes, I love you, baby. Come back to me, baby. Me, yes, we love you.
Spotless, no being cool, no wearing boots. All I saw in my life was nonsense. My personality, you killing my personality. You mean a similar to team, now me a lady, no guinea guinea. Wow, the one that's along my caliber. You wanna make me your wife, come over. Now you down on your knees, begging me please to make a comeback to deliver. Yo, got all the love you do for me. Show me pepper, now you deform me. I don't care what they call me, I'm gonna take you back. Cause this time it's story.
Me beautiful baby, I do big my.
And that was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it.
Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sally, producer Odette Frazier, and our engineer for today, Aidan Utku, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, examine what is said, not the person who made the pronouncement. I'm your host, Peter Clotte in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry hosted the sixth round of the U.S.-Colombia High-Level Partnership Dialogue August 1st. Through these dialogues, the United States and Colombia have strengthened their cooperation as Colombia prepares to end the longest-running civil conflict in the world. Under President Barack Obama's Peace Colombia plan, the United States has developed a strategy that will support the Colombian government's efforts to provide security, strengthen the rule of law, protect human rights, and generate economic opportunities in areas that have been most negatively affected by the conflict with the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC. It is going to be crucial that those who have been victimized by the violence have a means of redress, said Secretary Kerry, and an assurance that those most responsible for abuses will be held accountable. At the same time, the United States and its partner Norway have launched the Global Demining Initiative for Colombia to help Colombia rid itself of landmines within 5 years. Last year in Colombia, 222 people, including 27 children, were killed or injured by landmines, a toll that is higher than any country in the world except Afghanistan. Education was also a topic of discussion at the high-level dialogue. Colombia now ranks second in the Western Hemisphere as grant winners for the 100,000 Strong in the Americas Innovation Fund grants. Finally, the dialogue covered the subjects of democracy and good governance. The United States welcomes the steps that Colombia is taking to ensure that women are able to participate fully in economic and political life, and to defend and expand human rights and the role of civil society. We continue to count on Colombia's partnership in defending human rights at the Organization of American States and the United Nations, said Secretary Kerry. The United States welcomes the opportunity to work with Colombia to ensure that peace is finally achieved and prosperity and security are shared by all Colombians.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.